WYPR is here to keep you connected to your community. And as our communities change amid the coronavirus pandemic, that connection is more important than ever before. Member support makes it possible. And if you can, we hope you'll help us out. If you're a sustaining member, consider increasing your monthly pledge or become a new member with a first-time gift. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link. And thanks.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. Merry Christmas to all, and may everyone have a fabulous new year. If economic data characterizing the past several decades are any indication, some can expect a much better new year than others, at least along financial dimensions. As indicated by the Washington Post, back in 1980, the bottom 50% of wage earners in the U.S. earned approximately 21% of all national income. That was nearly twice the share earned by the top 1%, which back then stood at 11%. But according to a massive new study regarding global inequality, those numbers have nearly reversed themselves over the past four decades. The bottom 50% now only take home 13% of national income, while the top 1% accumulate more than 20% of the country's income. In other words, since 1980, the U.S. economy has transferred 8 points of national income from the bottom 50% to the top 1%. These trends are particularly remarkable when one compares them to data characterizing economic life in the wealthy nations of Western Europe. There, the bottom 50% earn nearly 22% of the income in those economies, the top 1% take in a bit more than 12%. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. While final data regarding holiday spending are still being collected, available information suggests that the past few weeks represented a banner period for retailers, fueled by a combination of a strong economic outlook, surging financial markets, plentiful job openings, and modest inflation as measured by the Consumer Price Index and other indicators. Americans appear to have spent more than expected this holiday season. For instance, as indicated by writer Sharon Nunn, both Walmart and Nordstrom recorded their largest year-over-year November sales increases in 7 years. Altogether, sales at online retailers, brick-and-mortar stores, and restaurants rose 0.8% from the prior month in November, easily above the 0.3% increase predicted by economists surveyed by the Wall Street Journal. Retail sales over the past year are up by a healthy 5.8%. That represents the largest November increase since 2011, when the current economic recovery was still in its early stages. Despite fierce competition from online retailers, the category that includes department stores has done fairly well, registering a 3.6% sales increase over the past year, the best performance since 2010. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. One of the biggest stories of 2017 was Bitcoin. By now, many of us are aware of the spectacular rise in Bitcoin's value. Between the beginning of this year and early December, the value of Bitcoin rose from about $1,000 to more than $19,000. The question on many people's minds, including those of economists, is whether Bitcoin is an unsustainable speculative bubble. Bubbles involve outsized growth in the price of an asset beyond its true value driven by speculative purchases. As indicated by writer Ben Lubsdorf, the vast majority of private sector economists surveyed by the Wall Street Journal believe that a bubble has been formed. Specifically, 51 out of 53 forecasters, or 96%, say that Bitcoin has been experiencing a speculative bubble. That means that only two forecasters say that the recent gains do not represent a growing bubble. Mark Nielsen of Macroecon LLC has predicted that the price of Bitcoin would likely rise to $45,000 over the next 2 years. This view is the exception. Many economists point out that new highs in valuation appear to beget more interest and additional new highs, clear indications of a speculative bubble. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. Most economists seem to be bullish on 2018. Consumer confidence is high. There is an abundance of job openings awaiting job seekers. Corporate finances are strong and asset prices are elevated. But there are always reasons for concern. Initial estimate of 1.4%. This strength is driven by a combination of supportive policymaking, stronger export growth, and growing business confidence. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. Merry Christmas to all, and may everyone have a fabulous new year. If economic data characterizing the past several decades are any indication, some can expect a much better new year than others, at least along financial dimensions. As indicated by the Washington Post, back in 1980, the bottom 50% of wage earners in the U.S. earned approximately 21% of all national income. That was nearly twice the share earned by the top 1%, which back then stood at 11%. But according to a massive new study regarding global inequality, those numbers have nearly reversed themselves over the past four decades. The bottom 50% now only take home 13% of national income, while the top 1% accumulate more than 20% of the country's income. In other words, since 1980, the U.S. economy has transferred 8 points of national income from the bottom 50% to the top 1%. These trends are particularly remarkable when one compares them to data characterizing economic life in the wealthy nations of Western Europe. There, the bottom 50% earn nearly 22% of the income in those economies. The top 1% take in a bit more than 12%. For WIPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. While final data regarding holiday spending are still being collected, available information suggests that the past few weeks represented a banner period for retailers, fueled by a combination of a strong economic outlook, surging financial markets, plentiful job openings, and modest inflation as measured by the Consumer Price Index and other indicators. Americans appear to have spent more than expected this holiday season. For instance, as indicated by writer Sharon Nunn, both Walmart and Nordstrom recorded their largest year-over-year November sales increases in 7 years. Altogether, sales at online retailers, brick-and-mortar stores, and restaurants rose 0.8% from the prior month in November, easily above the 0.3% increase predicted by economists surveyed by the Wall Street Journal. Retail sales over the past year are up by a healthy 5.8%. That represents the largest November increase since 2011, when the current economic recovery was still in its early stages. Despite fierce competition from online retailers, the category that includes department stores has done fairly well, registering a 3.6% sales increase over the past year, the best performance since 2010. For WIPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. One of the biggest stories of 2017 was Bitcoin. By now, many of us are aware of the spectacular rise in Bitcoin's value. Between the beginning of this year and early December, the value of Bitcoin rose from about $1,000 to more than $19,000. The question on many people's minds, including those of economists, is whether Bitcoin is an unsustainable speculative bubble. Bubbles involve outsized growth in the price of an asset beyond its true value driven by speculative purchases. As indicated by writer Ben Lubsdorf, the vast majority of private sector economists surveyed by the Wall Street Journal believe that a bubble has been formed. Specifically, 51 out of 53 forecasters, or 96%, say that Bitcoin has been experiencing a speculative bubble. That means that only two forecasters say that the recent gains do not represent a growing bubble. Mark Nielsen of Macroecon LLC has predicted that the price of Bitcoin would likely rise to $45,000 over the next 2 years. This view is the exception. Many economists point out that new highs in valuation appear to beget more interest and additional new highs, clear indications of a speculative bubble. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. Most economists seem to be bullish on 2018. Consumer confidence is high. There is an abundance of job openings awaiting job seekers. Corporate finances are strong, and asset prices are elevated. But there are always reasons for concern. In the U.S., one of them takes the form of rising consumer delinquency rates on loans. Many Americans are under growing financial stress as the total debt held by U.S. households continues to attain new highs. As reported by writer Ben Lubsdorf, the Federal Reserve Bank recently indicated that household debt totaled approximately $13 trillion last quarter. That was up nearly a full percentage point since the spring and represented a 13th consecutive quarterly increase. That accumulated debt represents the highest level on record, though that statistic hasn't been adjusted for inflation or population. As a share of U.S. economic output, household debt was approximately 66% last quarter versus a high of approximately 87% in early 2009. About 5% of outstanding debt was delinquent as of September 30th of this year. One reason for the recent increase in delinquency is the sharp rise in delinquency for auto loans made to subprime borrowers by auto finance companies. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. There were many big news items this year. A new president, raging stock market, Bitcoin, and another year of economic expansion for both the global and U.S. economies. One of the other big news stories was Japan, a nation that has suffered stagnant growth for decades. That changed this year. The world's third-largest economy recently extended its growth streak to 7 quarters, its longest expansion in 16 years. Some economists have questioned the sustainability of this performance, noting still weak consumption, a stretched labor market, and a recent inventory buildup that may not be repeated in coming quarters. Some economists have begun to predict a deceleration in Japanese growth, with one noteworthy economist predicting about 1% growth in both 2018 and in 2019. But for now, the news is good. As reported by the Wall Street Journal, a surge in corporate capital spending prompted a revision of Japan's economic growth for the July to September quarter to 2.5% on an annualized basis, up meaningfully from an initial estimate of 1.4%. This strength is driven by a combination of supportive policymaking, stronger export growth, and growing business confidence. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu.